Okay, I want to read this verse in your hearing, which is the focal verse for the night. Psalm 119, 165 reads like this. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Amen. You see that? One more time. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Tonight, the central truth that we want to push once again is real simple, and that is, rather, it's real straightforward, that is that there's a relationship between your experience of peace and your exposure to the Word. That the more exposure to the Word there is, the more likely you are to experience internal peace. Simple enough? One more time. There's a relationship between exposure to the Word and the experience of peace. That the reading of the Word, the hearing of the Word, and just exposure to it, period, can do wonders for what's going on the inside, because the Word of God acts, kind of regulates us. When everything around us is moving and you're in this rat race and pressures all around, responsibilities, deadlines, duties, there has to be something that stabilizes you and regulates you. And that is God's Word. So, as I increase my exposure to God's Word, it's going to do something for my experience of peace. Now, right from the outset here, without a lot of deep study, somebody ought to be able to agree with that, because you have experienced that, and you have experienced the opposite of that. Because typically I have found, and you have found, that when life is so busy and you're here and you're there and you got 12 irons in the fire, none of them are staying hot. And you have and you feel like you don't have any time to read the Word of God. Do you notice how much chaos you feel on the inside? And conversely, no matter how much you have going on around you, if you can just be regulated internally, you can keep your cool and keep your mind and keep your sanity and everything else. And that to a great degree has to do with the frequency of your exposure to the Word. And so in the mornings, if the morning begins with exposure to God's Word, that has a way, in a sense, of creating some internal peace for the rest of the day. Now, it's not some simple thing as taking an aspirin, read your verse, put it down, and peace, you know. It's not quite that simple. But what it is that exposure to the word, or encountering the Word, helps to expose you to the mind of God. Right. And the mind of God, watch it, puts perspective on everything you have to deal with on that day. It puts it in proper perspective so that when I'm in proper relationship with this, I stand a better chance of being in proper relationship with you and with whatever I'm dealing with in the course of a day. Okay, so now look at the verse one more time. Psalm 119, 165. Great peace have they which love thy law. Nothing shall offend them. Law right here is a synonym, or means the same thing as the Word. Okay? And here's what I want you to do, just real quickly, right there at your table. Psalm 119 itself is a psalm that's dedicated to honoring the Word of God. Okay? And what it does in this psalm, there are at least seven, maybe six or seven other synonyms or other words that are used that are the same thing or have the same meaning as God's Word. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to look at, real quickly, Psalm 153 through 160. Just a quick exercise for your table. If you're at a table by yourself, which nobody should be at, just make sure you get with somebody. Get with somebody. Get with someone real quick. I'm going to give it to you in just a minute. We need everybody to get, everybody needs to be at the table with somebody. Okay? Everybody needs to be at the table with somebody. All right? Psalm 119. Okay? I messed up by saying chapter because there are no chapters in Psalms. My fault. All right? Psalm 119, verse 165. I'm sorry. 150. Verse 150, 153 through 160. We're going to get this right. Here it is right here. Okay, Psalm 119, verses 153 to 160. Okay, now let me tell you what I want you to do. Everybody has the location, right? Okay, we're in the same neighborhood. Okay, now here's what I want you to do at your table. I just want you to find every synonym for word, or for the word, in that particular passage. Every word that can also mean the word, all right? Or every word that's used for the word. Do it with your table. This is not individual, okay? All right? I'm giving you 3 minutes for this. This is simple. 153. Ask somebody at your table. We have one willing volunteer to come here and what is it again? 153 to 160, right? Okay. I hope you got them right. You got them wrong.
All right.
Give us the verse and the word.
Okay. Verse 153, we have law. 154, promise.
Wait a minute. Oh, you know what?
You don't need me.
Yes, I do. What is this?
NIV.
Okay, go ahead. Give me what you got.
Okay. 155 decrees. 156 is laws again. 157 statutes. 158 word. 159 precepts. 159 love.
160. No, love is not one.
No?
Precepts.
I said precepts.
Do you have anything for 160?
It was laws again.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Give her a hand, first of all. Now, I should have recommended, just so that we all be on the same page, that we look at the King James for this, because that's exactly right. You did that exactly right, Shanice. But let me do this from the King James, all right? Let's do this from the King James. If you have the King James, look on it. If you don't, look on with someone who does, okay? By the way, that's why I tell you, if you can, bring both versions to a Bible study, okay? Bring both, all right? If you can. All right? What's the word in 153?
Law.
Okay? Okay, that's a synonym for word. 154 is the word, word. Uh-huh. And then, stay with me. 155. Uh-huh. Statutes. Okay, not statues. 156. judgments. Where am I? 157? And then there is no different word in 158, right? It's just word again. Okay, so we don't count that. 159? Precepts. And that's it? I don't want the qualifier. I just want the word, okay? So there's no new word in 160. Now, the one that's not in here, can anybody tell me what's not in here that's used in some other verses in 119? Is the word commandments, right? Let me see. Are there any others? Words, law, precepts, statutes, judgment, judgment. Now, what I didn't have time to do was to see if there was any distinction in their meaning. Because when you read Psalm 119, all of these words are used interchangeably, okay? So in one verse, it'll be, say 153, verse 153, consider my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. Okay, and then 154, quicken me according to thy word. Now, it could be that all these words are used. Now, here's what I want to tell you. In every verse in Psalm 119, one of these words is used. Try it. Go home tonight before you go to bed and read Psalm 119, the whole psalm. And tell me if you can find one verse that doesn't have one of these words. I got something for you, right? I got something for you. Because every verse in Psalm 119 contains one of these words, because all of these words are synonyms for the word, and they're used interchangeably, I think. All right? Now, if somebody wants to do a real good study, you could look up every one of these to see if they have any different meaning in their original sense, okay? All right, anybody want to do that for next week? Oh, next week we're not. Anybody? Okay, all right, we'll talk about that later. Okay, so I didn't have time to do that today, but those words are used interchangeably for the most part in Psalm 119. All right, just a little exercise for us there. Okay, now, go back to Psalm 119, verse 165. Let's go back there. I'm stuck because I'm really interested in this right here. I'm really interested in it. I'm kind of stuck on it. Hopefully everybody understands what we try to do with this, and that is to show you how central is the word of God in Psalm 119 and how Psalm 119 elevates it and lifts it up as something to be valued and honored, okay? And the fact that all of these words are used to describe what comes from God's mouth, okay, that impacts the life of the human being, means something, that all these different words are used. Okay, now, Psalm 119, 165. Listen to what it says one more time. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Love of the law, in verse 165, love of the law equals great peace. Puts emphasis on the greatness of the peace. On last week, what was the qualifier for peace according to Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3? The qualifier was, trust was the foundation for the peace, but it was perfect peace, right? Perfect peace last week, great peace this week, all right? Great peace have they which love thy law. I keep repeating this because I want you to memorize this verse. Okay? I want you to memorize this particular verse. I want you to get this in you for the week. Great peace have they which love thy law. And what's the second part to that? And nothing shall offend them. That word offend has to do with stumbling over something that causes you to fall. Okay? Great peace, listen to what the verse says. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall cause them to stumble to the point that they fall. Wake up and hear me here, right? I mean, you may stumble, but nothing will be that troubling or traumatic that it'll actually cause you to fall when you love the law. Because loving the law results in great peace, and the consequence will be nothing shall cause you to stumble to the point that you fall. No discouragement, no situation, okay? Now, a very similar kind of meaning is found in Isaiah chapter 48. Let's go there. Once again, I'm looking in the King James, if you want to follow me with the King James. 48. You see this? This might be another one that you want to spend some time with. You see it, right? I like you to read these. I like you to read these verses and just kind of just get them in and it just, you know, just kind of see it for yourself, because there's not much I can say about this. Look what it says. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments. This is the Lord speaking to the prophet speaking to the people about what could have been in their lives. Oh, that thou hadst, you see it, y'all? Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments. Then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. Had you just hearkened, listened, applied, etc., to my commandments, this would have been the result. That would have been the result. So once again, what does hearkening to the word of God lead to here in this verse? Peace and righteousness. The peace would flow like a river. Righteousness like the waves of the sea. Yep. Now, with that in mind, we have established the fact that there is this relationship, right, between peace and God's word. And you all agree with me, right? Okay. With that in mind, then, what should be our relationship with this right here? What should be our relationship with it? We'll go back to Psalm 119. We'll stay there for a minute. First of all, there should be a response of appreciation. I mean, where this is valued above everything else. And let me ask you this. How do you know? Well, let's see what the psalm says. Let's see what the scripture says first. Psalm 119, verse 103. Listen to the poetry, right? How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. It's the same psalm, obviously, verse 131. See what that says. Listen to the imagery here. You see it? What you think about that, Sean? You see that? I opened my mouth and panted, for I long for thy commandments. I long for it. It's sweeter to me. Some real interesting imagery here, right? As sweeter than the honey from the honeycomb and all of this. This is how much the psalmist says we ought to value the word. How do you know when you value the word? How do you know when you value the word? Yeah, you spend some time in it. Yes, sir. Okay, don't want to compromise it. Okay, yes, sir. Okay, yeah. Source for your decision making. Well, how about just an anxiousness? You can't wait to hear it. It becomes a priority above everything else. You know, that's how you know when you're beginning to value the word. Yes. You know when it's missing, and you start feeling a certain way when you don't have access to it. Yes, sir. Okay, all right. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Okay, one of the ways you know that you value the word is you can pick up on it when you don't hear it, right? It's there's a craving. I don't know about you, but something is wrong if you can miss church for a couple Sundays and not begin to feel like you are starving. And when you are used to it, even one Sunday, right? And I've heard people say this who have been sick and et cetera, who just can't. Yeah, I'm not talking about people who choose not to be here. All right, I'm talking about people who just for whatever reason can't be here, work or something like that. And all of a sudden, there's just like this feeling of emptiness, right? That the week is not the week unless you've been exposed to the word. Yes, sir. There you go. Anticipation. I know for me and perhaps some other preachers who preach different places, one of the things that's so refreshing is that you know when you're in a congregation that's anticipating the word. I mean on the edge of their seats, because even while you're reading your scripture, they're like, come on now, yeah, let's go. You know, they are ready to roll with you. And conversely, you know you're in trouble if you can read certain passages, you know, up front when you are about to present your title and all that, and they're just kind of looking at you. You know it's going to be uphill on that Sunday, all right? on that Thursday or whenever it might be. And so I think that there's a certain anticipation. When you value the word, you can't wait to get to church to hear it. I mean, it takes a whole lot to keep somebody from exposure to the word of God when they value it. Because it's like honey from the honeycomb, sweet as that. This is the imagery. He said, I opened my mouth and I panted. Go ahead, yeah, go with that. And because he said, the reason I did, he said, let me make it clear, is because I longed for the word, all right? And that's that sense of anticipation, that's that sense of excitement. Yes?
But I don't know,
Sure, Psalm 34. I think that's Psalm 34. Yes, right here. Oh, thank you. Yes, sir.
You can feel lost if you don't hear the word.
You can feel lost if you don't hear the word. So, yes. Yes, ma'am. Yes. There is, and I think that for me and maybe for you as well, one of the reasons sometimes we don't have that excitement is because we take it for granted that we're just going to get it like this every Sunday. Right? But once again, just let about two or three people witness who haven't been able to have that. And what happens is, I think before I even hear the word of God on Sunday or even in Sunday school, my church school teacher's teaching, whatever the setting, what I have to do for a moment is separate myself from it and stand back and say, man, I'm about to hear from heaven. Preaching or teaching is the time that earth gets a chance to hear from heaven. And I don't care how limited or deficient may be the vessel that's being used in terms of their presentation or whatever. Somehow or another, God's word is going to get through that. And I got to learn how to latch on to God's word as it is presented, you know? And so our first relationship with the word ought to be one of appreciation. Second, ought to be, and I couldn't think of a better word for this, is when we actually confront the word, confrontation. And how do we confront the word? How do we confront the word? Well, yeah, through reading it, that's it. And through hearing it. Through reading it and hearing it. There's something particular about hearing it because faith cometh by hearing. And so the scripture for me is even different when it is heard as opposed to when it's just read. Meaning when I can be at home and read for myself. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And then if I hear someone in a microphone who reads that and the verbal, it becomes oral is the word, okay? The audio becomes active. Something happens in just hearing that because the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, all right? And so by the reading of the word, that's how we encounter it, and by the hearing of it. And, you know, and I ran across something today that this verse kind of has become sort of my theme, even for preaching and teaching. Psalm 119, verse 130. And this from the NIV, 119, 130, I think it's 130, let's see. Yeah, oh man, listen, look at this. And this is confronting the word. 130, the unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. This for me is this Brother Ken is why I lean toward expository preaching because it says the unfolding of your word. The King James, I like it too, says the entrance of your word. The entrance of your word. And when I confront it, it's literally entering me. And the NIV translates that same word. They don't translate it entrance, they translate it as unfolding. That is what we aim to do. May not always be successful at it, but what we aim to do week after week is unfold the word that it might bring light. There it is right there. And so what's our relationship with the word? Appreciation, confrontation. Now, because you don't just want to appreciate it and never encounter it. you know, the people at church getting the word, and I appreciate it. I'm somewhere on the shore reading the newspaper, and But I value the word. No, I show my value of it and my appreciation for it by consistently confronting it. And that's reading it. That's reading it as much as I may not want to some mornings, and as much as I may have so much to do, just don't feel like it, sleepy, tired, can barely get myself together, go to work and all that. The last thing I want to do is sit down and open the Word of God. Stop and do it, because it's in the confrontation of the Word that the Word is unfolded, and it brings light and understanding to the simple. So that what happens is, when I read God's Word, it gives me perspective. It helps me to put some glasses on through which I see everything that's going on in life and in the world. And it gives me a whole different perspective on it. And I see people differently. Okay, the same person who I saw one way, I see them another way as a result of my exposure to the Word. And the Word becomes the lens through which I see. Watch how this works. The Word becomes the lens through which I see life and the world. It gives me a new world view. Okay, and we don't have time to talk about this right here, but Christ becomes the lens through which I see the Word. Mm-hmm. The Word becomes the lens through which I see the world. Christ becomes the lens through which I see the Word. And so all of the Word is seen through the Christ event, because there are some things that happen in the Bible that really don't have gospel on them. A lady being chopped up and her body parts being sent to 12 tribes. Okay, that's not gospel to me. And so everything in the Bible is judged by the Christ event itself. That's a whole other topic. All right, but what I want to say for now is that everything in our world, I think what the Scripture does, it doesn't just give me, I think we limit the Bible sometimes. It doesn't just give me a verse to shoot at a situation. But it gives me a worldview. See, I have to broaden the impact of God's Word. It's not as narrow as, okay, if you're lonely, read this verse. Okay, if you're hungry, read this verse. I had something there, but I don't need that long. Something I read in one of those Gideon Bibles. And you know how they have, if you're this, read that, okay? That's cool. But make it a little broader than that, because when you read the Word of God and when you're exposed to it week after week, see, what you're doing when you're coming to church, yes, you're coming to worship. That's your first priority. That's your first purpose for coming here Sunday after Sunday. It's to come in and just go crazy worshiping Him, because He is worthy of that. But in addition to that, I'm also coming so I can be exposed to God's Word, so that my worldview will be further solidified. And I can see things. I can have a different view of things that are going on based on the truth that I'm fed week after week. And that's why people, and that's why people always have to be careful. And I say this all the time, when you're being fed through too many streams, this program, that program, this book, this devotional, okay, I think God can speak to a lot of different ways. Don't get me wrong. And it's cool. I mean, I listen to people, and y'all listen to people. But just be careful, okay, when all these streams are feeding you and your worldview is just getting confused. Okay? There ought to be some source of consistent diet, and every now and then eat out. You're not helping me here. I mean, if I really want to grow and become strong, I mean, I sit at mama's table week, day after day. I eat there. Now, every now and then, she would allow us to eat at some different places. But not just anywhere, because some stuff will make you sick. All right? So I don't know what I'm talking about, but there has to be, some steady flow, some steady source of being fed. So our relationship with the world, too much time on us. Appreciation, confrontation, then what's next? Meditation, so that after I get it, 119:97, verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. And then Psalm 1, you all know that. Okay, if you know it, let's recite it together then. Yeah, I hear y'all turning pages now. Go ahead, Deacon Solomon. He up here reciting it. He got it. Deacon Solomon got that. Okay, listen to this, right? And I know we all know it. Let's read like the first time we heard it. Here is what it says. Blessed is the man, blessed is the woman, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sits in the... Now, do you know what all that means? All that means is blessed is the person, happy is the person who is not influenced by all these different sources again. Okay? Because influence takes on a counsel, right, where you're walking in the counsel of the ungodly, you're walking in their counsel, you're walking in the counsel of the ungodly, you're walking in the counsel of the media, you're walking in the counsel of this author, that author. Okay, that's walking in the counsel of the ungodly, when you're influenced by, again, sources that are not connected to the kingdom of God. And that includes some of that stuff that you find on the shelves of Barnes and Nobles that's in the sixth section called religion. And we pick it up. You know, somebody brought me a book. Pastor, what do you think about this book? It was an occult book. It was an O-C-C-U-L-T, an occult book. But because it said it was in the section, it said spirituality. You got to be careful, all right, because this is the counsel of the ungodly. And sometimes the ungodly puts on the clothes of the godly. Because the devil knows he can't get us just if he's too explicitly ungodly. So he baptizes himself in godliness. So I think it's Paul that says he disguised himself as an angel of light. Yeah. Okay, so here, the verse 1 is talking about somebody who's influenced by the wrong stuff. For first of all, it's some happy is the person, blessed is the person who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, okay? You're walking in it. Walking in it means to live in it, okay? And then who does not stand in the way of sinners. The way means in the path, getting comfortable in the setting of the sinner. It's okay to go through it so that you can have impact in evangelism, but don't get settled in the setting of the ungodly. Yeah. And then it says, nor sits in the seat of the scroll. That means you have just fallen hook, line, and sinker for the counsel of the ungodly. Because initially, as we've said a million times, each one of these verbs becomes a little more static and settled. First of all, you're just walking in the counsel of the ungodly. Then you stand, and then you sit. And in each one, you got a little more comfortable, right? Because initially, somebody ought to wake up here, I was just walking in it. I was still functioning, you know, I was still making my way through it. Then I got real comfortable, because to sin once makes it easier to sin twice, right? And then I stood in it, then I sat in it. Okay, so this has to do with influence. I don't know why I spend so much time there, but this has to do with influence. Okay, now meditate. Verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Delight, where does that fall into our little four, into our relationship with the word delight? Appreciation. Yep, appreciation. Yeah. His delight, her delight is in the law of the Lord. And you know that that's where their delight is because they do what? In it, meditate in it day and night. There's meditation, there's pondering over it. So here it is right here. I'll come back to that. And then finally, there is this level of application. Okay? Psalm 119, verse 167. Psalm 119, 167. My soul hath done what? Hath kept thy testimonies. I love them exceedingly. The reason why I've kept them is because I love them. And I show that I love them by keeping them. Okay, so let's see how this works. Stan, this is how it goes, right? When it comes to our relationship with the Word, there is appreciation. Okay? And appreciation ought to lead to some daily confrontation, meaning I encounter the word. And after I get the word, okay, because confrontation can mean at least two things, right? What? Hearing, you all got me over there? Hearing and reading, okay? All right? And so, but after that, there has to be a level of meditation. Why? What happens at the level of meditation? Yes. Okay, let's not go to apply yet. You always want to jump ahead and be deep. Because you're exactly right. Yes, sir. Yes. Yes. Go ahead. Okay, becomes real focused. And see, what happens at the level of meditation is what you said, is that what I got in confronting the word, I heard Sunday that one of the ways I show that indeed I'm a child of God has to do with how I respond to my enemies. Okay? Because one verse says, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to those that hate you. And what's the next one? Pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. Then the very next verse says, so that you may be the children of your heavenly Father, which means I show that I'm a child of my Father by how I respond to irritating, cantankerous, mean-spirited people. All right, I love that word, cantankerous. I love it. You know, you learn one word, you keep using it all the time. So that is the word that I got on Sunday. Okay? That's my paternity test, right? To show that I'm a child of God. Now, I can't just leave that there. So hopefully, what I do on the way home, and here's what the Lord says to do in Deuteronomy. He says, talk about it at your table with your children, if you have children there, or whomever, all right? So that what I got, well, what happens is learning happens as a result of repetition. And so I'm repeating that idea. Sometimes in a sermon, particularly with the way, you know, I like to do things, you can repeat the outline even. But even if you can't do that, don't worry about that. If I can just repeat the idea that, hold on, there's a relationship between me being a child of God and how I deal with my enemies. Okay, there's a relationship. I show that. Okay, and so what I do is I repeat that at my table. Okay, we talk about it. The word we got tonight, that was take off the limits. Okay. So what I'm going to do is, okay, I'm going to go home and think about that. I was blessed to be in a setting a couple of weeks ago for a change. I was able to sit down and hear somebody preach for about 4 or 5 nights. And every time I got back to the hotel room, one of the things I would do is I would read over the text that they preached. Okay, just to get this thing back into me to a sense of repetition so that that begins to set up in me. All right? So that I won't be guilty of what two or three of those soils were guilty of in that parable that Jesus told in Mark chapter 4, where he says the word was sown, the seed was sown, and immediately, and I think on one soil, it was so hard that the birds came along and just ate up all the soil. That meant that, you know, I got the word. Well, actually, the word just kind of hit me at that moment and just get left. And then the next soil that the seed went in down, went into the ground, but underneath there was stone, so the roots couldn't go real deep. So that when the sun came out and just burned it, that's the person who's real excited about the word when you got it. Come on, preacher, come on. But that was it. Okay, so no roots are developed. So immediately after some trouble comes or issues come, that word is totally forgotten. Or then that third soil where it grows, it actually grows. But then I got so much else going on, my issues, my stuff, money, cares of the world, it actually chokes out what I heard. And Jesus says, he says, 3/4 of the time, that's what's going to happen when you hear the word. But maybe, hopefully, just 1/4 of the sermons that you've heard in your life will actually produce some fruit. Somebody wake up and hear me here. Yeah. He said 3/4 of the time. That's why there were 3 soils that did not produce anything. I'm going way off. There's one piece of land. There's one kind of soil that produced something, 1 out of 4, which tells me personally that I'm probably only going to benefit from 1/4 of the sermons that I hear. The rest of me is just going to hit, bam, be gone immediately. Some of them are going to go down a little bit. And some of them are going to develop. They're going to choke, be choked out by what's going on. And then maybe 1/4 of them, think about all the sermons you've heard in your life. How many of them have really taken hold of you? Think about all the lessons and all the, Okay, all right. And so, here's my point. And you all just let me spend too much time on this. We can't even get to the real dessert here. All right? Appreciation of the word will lead me to want to confront it in hearing and reading. Okay? But that's not enough. When I get home, even what I heard tonight, there has to be some level of meditation. Because that's where it sets up, all right? But now, where the rubber really meets the road is right here, is on the level of application. Yes. Yes, something is happening. Something is happening when I'm chewing on it. And you all remember the image that we always use for meditation? Do you all remember? Yeah, there you go. You with me. All right. That is borrowed from the imagery of cattle chewing. Okay, they first chew with the grazing, grass, whatever it is, swallow it, and then they regurgitate it, chew on it some more, swallow, regurgitate, She wanted some more. Okay, just kind of making sure that they get everything out of it that's in it. Y'all don't hear me. And that's what you do with the Word of God. Chew on it. Swallow it. Bring it up again. Think about that thing. Swallow it. Because what in chewing on it, I'm getting everything out of it that I can. And every time I chew on it, I get something different. That's meditation. That's meditation. Yeah, I know, Candace. You don't like that image, do you? All right. All right. You don't like that, Rex? All right. All right. We'll try to find something else next time for the nice people here. Something happens. Here it is. Something happens at the level of application. Let's go to, and I guess we'll have to close here. I had something real juicy in 2 Chronicles. Right? I have to say that for another time. Right? Tomorrow I'll do that. Mm-mm. I'm saving it. Matthew, chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. This is a wonderful parable that illustrates what we're trying to say. This parable that Jesus tells here is the conclusion to what? Wake up, y'all. I'm going to let you go in a minute. It's the conclusion to what? You said, give me something, Linda. Yeah, there you go. It's the conclusion to the Sermon on the Mount, Lesson on the Mount. Okay, and look, this is how Jesus concludes it. Verse 24. It says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, all right, and doeth them, I will liken her unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Rain descended, floods came, winds blew, beat upon the house, and it didn't fall, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish person who built their house upon the sand. What happened next? Have you read that anywhere before? Because isn't that the same thing that happened to the man who built his house upon the rock? It's the same storm. Okay, you'll catch that later on. All right, you missed it. All right, okay. All right, and the rain descended, verse 27, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. When it comes to this continuum here, the first builder embodied what? The first person, I'm talking about the parable here. And it says here that of the one who hears these sayings, and doeth them, I will liken that person to a wise person who builds upon the rock. So what did that person do? Let's just say all of this, okay? Because Jesus said that this person did at least two things when it comes to the word. Did what? Heard and did. Okay, what this person did, actually formed a foundation for their lives. Okay, yeah, because they heard the word, and they did what the word said, and in the doing of the word, you actually form a foundation. That's the consequence. Okay? So that there is no destruction in tribulation. Okay, watch it. It all started with appreciation of the word. Confrontation. I'm telling you, this is the way it happens. And then, you know, I confronted the word, I encountered it, I meditated over it, I applied it, and it actually, for my life, formed a foundation. So that when the storm hit, destruction was limited. After the storm, I came back and I looked at the damage, and the house was still standing. Because it all started with a great appreciation of the word. Okay? All right? But what about this second person? The answer is right there. What did this person do? They heard it. So maybe they did this. Maybe there was appreciation. Maybe there was confrontation, you know, because they actually heard the word. And who knows? Maybe a little meditation, perhaps. But there was definitely no, so, and no application. You don't, it's like poured concrete. When you're pouring a footer or footing for a building, anybody know anything about that? Okay. You dig out the foundation. You pour concrete in it. You can't build on top of that 10 minutes after you've poured the concrete. You got to give that a chance to set up, and so you can come maybe the next morning and start constructing whatever structure you want to build on top of it. And you put a lot of work into that foundation. I mean, we used to be digging everything down there, and you wonder where you're going to get out of that hole. Like, can we please get out of here, okay? Dirty, muddy, cold out here, whatever, okay? Well, you're not going to, you got to put some work down here before you go up. You got to do this. Okay? And once you get that right and that's all set up, you can build on it something marvelous. And everybody will see what's on top, but they won't see what's underneath that's really holding the structure together. Okay? And you see, when you apply the word, that gives the concrete a chance to set up, and you actually form a foundation upon which you can actually begin to build your life. In both cases, this is the interesting thing to me. We've preached this quite a bit. In both cases, what happened? In both cases. How is the storm described? I bet you it's in your Bible. Well, first of all, you know how I like to do. Pick it apart. What's the first thing? The rain descended. Well, wait, hold up. Just don't outrun me. All right? The first thing is that the rain descended. That's trouble from above. And what's the next thing? Floods came. That's trouble from around. What's the next thing? The winds blew. That's trouble all around. And what's the next thing? And beat upon the house. That's what all that did. Wait a minute. The rains fell. That's trouble from above. The floods rose. That's trouble from below. The winds blew. That's trouble all around. And that's how it hits. From above. And it hit both houses. Nobody was so righteous that the storm didn't hit them. Can we push this a little bit? Yeah. Because the storm hit the just and the unjust. So there wasn't so much faith in one house that the storm didn't hit it. It was the same storm. You don't hear me. It was the same recession. It was the same loss of a job that hit both houses. It was the same sickness, the same cancer hit both houses. You're not with me. The same domestic trouble hit both houses. The same financial burden hit both houses. The only difference between the two houses is that when the trouble hit, one was destroyed and one stood up. And what's the difference? Is what they were built on. And so it starts right here, though. Please hear me here. Every Sunday, every day in hearing the word. Every day in reading the word. Every Sunday in hearing the word. It starts right here with appreciation. I can't wait to get there because I'm anxious to see what the Lord has to say today. And what the Lord has to say today may not be relevant for me today. Because maybe right now the skies are blue. You're not with me here. And the sun is shining. But what I need to do is I need to stock up and store up on that because I don't know when the rains are going to fall and the floods are going to rise and the wind is going to blow. My storm could be around the corner. Yeah. And so it has to be a level of appreciation which leads to weekly or daily confrontation. And then after that's over, I go home. I'm not just going to leave that sermon there. I'm not going to leave that lesson there. That lesson that Sunday school teacher taught, it cost them too much. They poured their soul into that. I'm not going to leave it there. I'm going to take this home. We're going to talk about it on the way home. We're going to talk about it when we get home. I'm going to ask the kids, what did you get out of that today? Da-da-da-da-da. We're going to talk about this because there has to be a level of meditation. And then I'm going to rush out on Monday morning. Put it into practice because that helps to concrete the setup. And in doing so, I will literally be building my foundation so that when I experience tribulation, there won't be the elimination of who I am, my faith, and all that kind of stuff. All right? Yeah. That's the way it's supposed to work. Wow, okay, it's late. All right. Okay, that's good enough for now. On next week, now we thank you so much for this time together that you've given us. We thank you for being able to encounter your word tonight. We thank you for everybody who took out time tonight to come here, which demonstrates appreciation for the word. We thank you for that. People who sacrifice time and rest and gas and all of that and energy coming here tonight, God, we thank you for those who value your word enough to make a commitment to it. Forgive us because sometimes we don't always recognize the value of your word. Cleanse us now and teach us through your word. Unfold it that it might be a light. Bless the remainder of activities, everything that's going on this week, that everything we do might honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.